Magnify the Lord our God, because the Lord our God is holy. Welcome to worship this morning at First Presbyterian Church, this first Sunday of March. Today we will be celebrating Holy Communion. All are invited to share in this meal. It is an open table. Children are able to share, who have their parents' permission, who have an understanding of what this meal means. For all of us, it is a mystery. We cannot define it specifically, but yet in that mystery, Christ is present. We are fed. We are sent out as new people. Speaking of being fed, this last week, we were able, through your generous donations and your time, your service, we were able to help feed 195 meals at Loaves and Fishes. So thank you very much. It is great to see how God is at work in our lives. In April, we have an opportunity on Maundy Thursday, actually, to be able to prepare a meal for the warming shelter as well. So what a great opportunity that'll be to share a meal, a holy meal, with those who need it most, to make a simple meal become something so holy for them. Also, along the lines of feeding, Feed My Starving Children is coming up this next weekend on Saturday. The goal for this year is to be able to pack almost 140,000 meals, and that costs about $41,000 and over 600 volunteers. I think we're doing pretty good on volunteers. I got two thumbs up from Jennifer back there, so there's still waiting lists, that type of thing. Can always use finances, though, to be able to pay for these meals and to be able to provide all that is necessary for it. So continue to keep Feed My Starving Children in your prayers. As we wrap up Feed My Starving Children next Saturday, we turn the clocks forward. So you get to spring forward. Sounds so great until we realize, oh, springing forward means we lose an hour. So make the most of this week. Make the most of every moment this week, because we're going to be losing an hour. And remember that one for worship for next week. Next week, we will be offering a new member class at 11:30. So if you're interested in that, please grab those pew pads, pass those back and forth. Mark in there that you're interested in that. We've got a few names already that I'm reaching out to see if that works, and to have a new member class coming up next Sunday. Also, you've probably heard, you've seen, collecting personal hygiene items for the Help for the Homeless drive. We'll be doing that through March 16th, so please bring in your items, and those items are going to be staying here in our community and various organizations. So lots of ways to be involved. As we heard last Sunday, the blood drive is also coming up, another great way to be able to serve the larger community. Hard to believe that this Wednesday we begin our Lenten journey. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. So as we did last year, from noon until 1, I'm going to offer a drop-in time here for you to just to stop in for a moment or two, to simply sit in the pew, reflect, pray, read scripture, to receive the imposition of ashes, sign of the cross on your forehead if you'd like, to have a time of prayer, blessing, whatever it may be. Nothing formal, structured, simply drop in. I will be here during that noon hour. Then on Wednesday evening from 6:30 to 7:30, we'll have our traditional worship service with the imposition of ashes, communion. And in our March edition of the Presbyterian Post, our newsletter, I've provided all sorts of information on our Lenten journey coming up, all the different things that we're putting together and the way that it's all structured to help us to grow our faith, to become more aware of God's presence in our lives, and most importantly, to generate conversations. So we get to know one another, we get to see where God is at work, and we get to help figure out what is that best structure for our congregation as we move forward. As part of the sessions, challenge to us to figure out what is that best way to organize ourselves in ministry. So we'll have those. Throughout Lent, during the midweeks, Wednesdays, we're going to have our service here from in the sanctuary over the noon hour. So we're starting at 12:15 to 12:45, a half-hour service that will be available on Zoom as well if you're not able to make it here. And then from 12:45 to 1:30, if you'd like to stick around, there's going to be some soup in the fellowship hall, and we'll do a little study in Scripture and be discussing how God is at work in our life and where do we see God at work. We're also offering an evening opportunity from 6:30 to 7:30. We're going to be meeting in person, sorry, no Zoom, but we will have food if you'd like it. The same basic study that we're doing here earlier in the day, we're going to be doing at Bob's Pizza on the Ave. So we're going to be meeting in the Just Love Cafe. We've got that reserved for us, so even though it's half-price pizza night, we get to take advantage of that, but we get to slip off to the side in the Just Love Cafe area. So I invite you to come there. Let's try to pack that cafe and have some great conversation. And we'll start out with a few pizzas, see how many people show up, what we need to order beyond that. And as we go through, there's going to be lots of different opportunities for us to figure out where it is that God's calling us to plug in the life of the church. One of the opportunities is possibly singing in a choir. If you're saying, you know what, I really don't like singing alone. That's me. I don't like singing alone. There's a few times that I can, but I don't really feel comfortable. But singing in a group, that's okay. So Chris has got quite a few different opportunities. Touch base with her if you'd like to jump in with a group here going through the Lenten Easter season. You can find a way to jump in on that. There's also going to be, as we've had in the past, opportunities for being able to share in the one great hour of sharing, with fish banks, the fish derby, all sorts of new things with that as well. So lots of fun coming up with that. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. You may say, what? Transfiguration Sunday. It's one of those Sundays that some churches make the most of and some just kind of overlook it. It gets lost in the shuffle. It's a Sunday that marks that transition between the season of Epiphany and the season of Lent. It's a transitional Sunday, a liminal Sunday, going through that doorway from one season of the Christian life into the next. We move from that inbreaking light, that revealing presence of Christ, the illuminating of our hearts that Epiphany is all about. And we prepare to, in a sense, descend down into the shadowy darkness of a Lenten journey as we travel together to the cross and celebrate the resurrection. Transfiguration Sunday recounts that mountaintop experience of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and the inner circle of his disciples, Peter, John, and James. And we hear the voice of God speak to them. And speaking to us, saying, listen to Jesus. So as the light of Christ is brought forward, may we experience our own holy encounter by setting aside the distractions of life, opening our hearts in prayer, and worshiping the living God on this mountaintop.
Good morning. Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Read responsibly. We are brought here today to glimpse the hope that Christ has for us. Open our hearts to receive that hope. We are brought here today to be healed of our fears. Heal us, Lord Jesus, with your love and power. Come, let us receive the vision and healing love of God. Praise be to God who continues to bless and restore us. O God, in the transfiguration of your Son, You confirm the mysteries of the faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah. And in the voice from the cloud, you foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us with Christ heirs of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus said, "Nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not come to light. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin. God of compassion, in Jesus Christ, you reveal the light of your glory, but we turn away, distracted by our own plans. We confess that we speak when we should listen, and act when we should wait. Forgive our aimless enthusiasms. Have mercy on us, O Lord, as we silently open our hearts and confess our sins." Please take a few moments for your own silent confession. Hear our pleas, O God. Grant us wisdom to live in your light and to follow in the way of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The one who calls light out of darkness now shines in our hearts to reveal the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Zechariah prophesied, "Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on this path of peace. The peace of Christ be with you."
And also with you.
Now, please take a moment to greet each other and offer Christ peace. Our first reading today is taken from Psalm 99. Let us read together responsibly. This is the Common English Bible. The Lord rules, the nations shake. He sits enthroned on the winged heavenly creatures. The earth quakes. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them thank your great and awesome name. He is holy. Strong King who loves justice, you are the one who established what is fair. You work justice and righteousness in Jacob. Magnify the Lord our God. Bow low at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel, too, among those who called on his name. They cried out to the Lord, and he himself answered them. He spoke to them from a pillar of cloud. They kept the laws and the rules God gave to them. Lord our God, you answered them. To them you are a God who forgives, but also the one who avenged their wrong deeds. Magnify the Lord our God. Bow low at his holy mountain, because the Lord our God is holy.
Today's gospel reading is from Luke's gospel, the 9th chapter, verses 28 through 36. Listen for the word of the Lord. About 8 days after Jesus said these things, he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes flashed white like lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with them. They were clothed with heavenly splendor and spoke about Jesus' departure, which he would achieve in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and saw his glory as well as the two men with him. As the two men were about to leave Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good that we're here. We should construct 3 shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he didn't know what he was saying. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them. As they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Even as the voice spoke, Jesus was found alone. They were speechless and at the time told no one what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Well, that's kind of an interesting story, isn't it? Yeah. So Jesus took Peter and James and John up to the mountain to pray. When they were doing their ministries, there was lots of people all around all the time, lots of things going on, and sometimes they just needed to be alone to take some time with God. I don't know about you. Are you pretty busy at your house? Got lots of stuff going on? Yeah, we do too. Lots of things going on. And sometimes we don't always take that time to be with God, do we? We get so busy doing other things. Well, in this story today, and Pastor talked about it, sometimes it's called transfiguration. Jesus looked different. It's kind of like there was a light shining on him and everything was glowing. And there were 2 more people there. And those people were really important people in the past. It was a pretty big deal. Well, Peter, he got a little nervous, got a little excited. Do you ever get a little excited when you have fun stuff going on? Well, he didn't know what was really going on, and he was kind of, and he probably was talking a little bit faster than he used to because he was so excited, so worried and excited and wanted to make sure we did it just right. And wouldn't it be great if we just did this and this and this? And then that voice came from God and said, whoa, slow down here. And what did he tell him? Listen to Jesus. Take that quiet time to listen to Jesus. That's why they were coming there, wasn't it? Time to talk with God and be with God. And they got so excited that all this was going on. We have all sorts of days where we have all sorts of things going on and lots of things, and some of them are scary and some of them are exciting and some of them are fun and some of them we know what's going to happen and some of them we don't know what's going to happen and we get very excited. And that's a time for us to remember, slow down and talk to God. So how do we talk to God? Do you remember how we talk to God? How do you know what Jesus would be telling us? What do you know? I've got some pictures up there. One of them is with some of the kids who received their Bibles. We can read our Bibles. We can learn about the stories of Jesus in here in worship and in Sunday school. We can talk about those stories of Jesus with our families and with our friends. We can pray and listen to God. Right? We can talk to the people that God's put in our lives to help us work through some of those things, to talk about what God might be calling us to do. When Jesus was on the mountaintop, he was still Jesus. But the way that the disciples saw Jesus was different. They had been with him all the time and eating dinner and doing all those things. And sure, he did some miracles and stuff, but you know, he's Jesus. But up on that mountaintop, they were reminded, and they saw Jesus differently. They saw him as the Son of God. Sometimes we get so busy doing all of our things that we kind of forget about how awesome and wonderful Jesus is in our lives. And sometimes it means that we need to take some time, that quiet time, to be with God and to listen. Let's do that right now. Are we ready? Let's say a little prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for reminding Peter to listen to your son, Jesus. We thank you for all of the opportunities, the new opportunities and fun and wonderful things that happen in our lives that help us learn more about you and more about your love. We just ask that you would help us to make sure that we come to you each and every day. We know that sometimes it can get confusing with all the things that are happening in our world, and we know that you can bring us that peace. We ask that you would help us to spend time with you each and every day, connecting with you more and more each day. We pray all these things, and all God's children said, amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, open the eyes of our hearts that we might see you. Allow us to hear you speak to us in your still, small, silent voice. Speak to us in ways that transform us and change us. So as we go back out into the world, we are more in tune with what you are calling us to do and who you are calling us to be. Amen.
I love watching these home makeover shows. I think it probably started, at least for me, with that show, three words, Move That Bus. Always looked forward to that, to see what they were going to do to transform this house. And, you know, it was exciting for me. We were newlyweds and had our own house, and so we'd have some conversations about, ooh, maybe that's something we could do in our home. And so we'd watch it for that. I was also doing remodeling work, so I'd watch it and come up with some ideas of, oh, here's something that I might be able to offer in somebody's kitchen or bathroom when I'm doing some remodeling. And it wasn't until quite a while after that that I realized what really intrigued me most and continues to intrigue me about these home makeover shows is the beginning and the ending. When they are telling the stories of what's been going on in family's life, and then how all of that gets incorporated into whatever this new design is. And when they listen to these stories, it's not so much about hearing the details of what goes on and what's brought them to whatever point in life they're at, but it's what are those aspects of life that maybe they're not even fully aware of that provide them the encouragement, that hope to continue on? What has given them that motivation to keep going? And they incorporate those elements into whatever this new design is so that when they get this new home and they're given a new, fresh start in life, they can have that same encouragement magnified, that they can continue to go forward. And then every once in a while, we'll realize that there are some people that they just don't get it. There are some who get this new home, and they are so thankful, and they love all of these encouragements and these motivations that are incorporated into the design, and it helps them to truly live out a new life. But there are others that, even with those encouragements there, they just don't seem to change. It's as if, in a way, they just kind of throw away all the time, the money, the effort that has been invested into them. And I'll be honest, there's a part of me that I wrestle with, how do I not be judgmental against somebody who has a gift like that and throws it away, and yet I don't know their exact circumstance, and also there's times in my life that, yeah, I've been given some pretty big gifts that maybe I didn't do as much with it as I could have. But I realize that's really the point of this text. Up until this year, I'd look at this text and I'd think about that great moment, that mountaintop experience, and think of the mountaintop experiences of life. But it isn't just about that mountaintop encounter. It's about what we do with that encounter. How does that encounter with the risen Christ change the trajectory of our life going forward? We're told that Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. He did this regularly. He took his disciples along with him, his three favorites, maybe we might call them. The inner circle is maybe a better way to frame it. Peter, John, James, they seem to be with him in all of these key moments. And we're told that they struggled to stay awake during this time of prayer. We've probably all been in situations like that where begin a prayer and start falling asleep. Oh, it's so hard to stay awake. But they were awake, and they saw Jesus' appearance change. All of a sudden, he's glowing white, reminiscent of Moses as he comes down off the mountaintop from his encounter with God and had to veil his face so that people wouldn't be afraid. And not only did they see that Jesus' face changed, But then they also saw Moses and Elijah suddenly are there talking with Jesus. Why Moses and Elijah? Well, Moses represents what we call the law of the Old Testament, and Elijah represents the prophets. So together they are the sum of representing the whole of Scripture, the law and the prophets. Within that Scripture, they had both seen God's glory. They both had mountaintop experiences. They were both considered to have never really died. They were taken up into God's presence. And they were taken up in a divine manner outside of anything that any human could control or orchestrate. We're told that Moses and Elijah appear and they're talking with Jesus about his upcoming departure. Not talking about, you know, his next plane flight heading to some nice warm tropical location. No, his departure that's about to take place in Jerusalem. The word translated as departure is exodus, reminiscent of Moses leading the people on the exodus out of. And that's really what exodus means. It means to go out or the way out. It refers to an act of leaving someplace, or in this case, leaving this life, dying. They were discussing Jesus' journey to the cross, the crucifixion, the execution that he was about to endure, and probably giving him some words of encouragement about what it was that he was doing, the importance of it, that the resurrection life for all of God's children was the ultimate goal. Shortly after this encounter, we're told in verse 51 that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. He set his face and never looked back. His only focus was going to the cross. This is a turning point in Jesus' ministry. Transfiguration Sunday is the day that we're called to do that same thing. We're called to begin our Lenten journey towards Jesus' death and resurrection by accepting a divine focus on the cross. We're called to think about what God wants to accomplish through us before our own exodus from this life. What do we want to be remembered for? It's a time to think of our mortality. We don't like thinking about the fact that we're all going to die, but yet that is a reality. And what is it that God wants to do in us and through us? As this mountaintop, otherworldly conversation seems to be winding down, as Jennifer mentioned, Peter's all excited. I would be too. I probably would react just like Jesus did. I'd start talking before I was thinking and saying something that seemed to make sense to me in the moment. What's Peter say? Oh, wow, this is cool. Let's build 3 shrines. Let's remember this moment. I mean, isn't that just what you and I would want to do? Maybe in our world today, we'd say, hey, let's build 3 tiny houses so we can hang out here and remember this. We can live here. The word translated as shrine, in other translations, is maybe tents, create 3 huts, 3 booths, tabernacles, 3 memorials, 3 sanctuaries, all sorts of different ways of translating it. Peter's response, focusing on that, is probably due to the fact that more than likely they were about to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. This is a time in which the Jews lived in small shelters, small little booths made out of boughs from trees and shrubs, symbolizing temporary dwellings of their forefathers and that exodus in the wilderness. It seems that Peter meant this as some great honor to Jesus, as if saying, oh, Jesus, you're more than just a great teacher. You're more than a great man. You are ranking right up there with Moses and Elijah. You're a prophet. Well, yes, and a whole lot more. It seems maybe as if Peter wanted to stay in that moment. He wanted to remember that moment. Peter wanted to preserve that encounter. If this were to take place today rather than 2,000 years ago plus, I can imagine Peter saying, "Hey, guys, let's take a selfie. Come here." He wanted to let people know. He was excited about it. This is cool. We want everybody to know about this. We want people to remember it. Let's build these three shrines. And we can stay here for a little while. He was so caught up in the emotions of this divine encounter that he didn't even hear what the conversations were really about. And suddenly everything went dark and this cloud settled in and overshadowed them. And we're told they were overcome with awe. That word there for awe, it's a fearful reverence. They knew they were in the presence of God. They knew that God was in control. Peter realized, yeah, it's not about me building huts. Okay, God wants something else. And then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. This is my son. Listen to him." God, in a sense, is telling Peter, Jesus isn't simply a great teacher, but he's not simply a prophet. He's not even on par with these great religious men of Moses and Elijah. Jesus is my son. Jesus is God. Peter and the disciples were speechless. They didn't tell anybody for quite a while what had happened. They had to process all of this and try to make sense of it. I'm guessing in part they knew that no one could enter into God's presence and walk out alive if they had any sin in their life. Obviously, they had sin in their life. So what was going to happen? They were probably waiting to drop dead in that moment. And yet they weren't. They were fully engulfed in this cloud that represented the presence of God and had led God's people on their journeys through the wilderness. And the cloud spoke to them. "This is my son. Listen to him." So often, we get told, don't just stand there, do something. And it's as if God was saying, don't do anything. Just listen. Don't get all caught up in the emotions of the moment. Don't get distracted trying to take a selfie, to build huts, to remember this moment, to memorialize it. Just pay attention to what my son is telling you. These three disciples came down from the mountain changed. Obviously, if Peter wasn't talking as much, if he didn't tell anybody about it, there was a definite change that happened in him, at least for a little while. Not only did they change, but the rest of their friends, the other disciples, were obviously changed because of this, but maybe not right away. See, the disciples that went up on this mountaintop, they knew the true identity of their friend, their teacher, Jesus. He was the Son of God, the Messiah. And it didn't fit in with all of their teachings and their expectations, and what do we do with this? It seems like it took a little while for this to change how they saw their own identity. We're told numerous times after this how Peter tries to take control of things and manage the situation. And Jesus says, no, listen. It wasn't until after Jesus' death and resurrection, and the disciples are scratching their head going, what do I make of this? What do we do? Do we go back fishing? It wasn't until they reflected back on this and the Spirit came to them at Pentecost that they started putting all the pieces together. And this encounter, this amazing encounter woven together with all of their other encounters, changed not only how they saw themselves, their identity. They were no longer fishermen, tax collectors. They were now disciples. They were now the apostles taking the message out. But it changed how they lived the rest of their life. As we transition from that revealing light of the season of Epiphany and embark on our own journey toward the cross, may we hear God speak to us. May we encounter the presence of the risen Lord. May we listen to what God is speaking to us. As we embark on this Lenten journey, through the practices, the opportunities to read Scripture, to pray together, to share our own stories, may we focus on the basics of faith, deepening our relationships with one another, our relationships with God, and listening for God to speak to us, to speak words of hope, of new life, of love, the love and forgiveness that He offered through the new covenant that He shares with us in this holy meal that we are about to partake. May we listen to Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing as we affirm the faith of our baptism, faith that is written in the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as the ushers come forward to gather God's tithes and our offerings. Generous God, it is through your mercy that we have this ministry, the ministry of our talents, our treasure, the ministry of our passion and our purpose. Strengthen our hearts for your service and accept the grateful offerings we lay before you. Amen. You may be seated as we prepare our hearts to share in this holy meal.
To us, break it, but to
This table is not a Presbyterian table. It's not even the church's table. This is the Lord's table. This is prepared for those who love the Lord, for those whose desire is to love him even more, to believe in Jesus Christ. All who believe in Jesus Christ are welcome to share in this table. The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise. You set the sun to brighten the day, and the moon and stars to illumine the night. You led us by your light of your truth into the way of righteousness and peace. You are holy, O God of majesty. And blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son. In his face, we glimpse your glory. In his life, we see your love. In his rising from the grave, we behold the promise of eternal life.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this loaf and this cup, and we joyfully celebrate the dying and rising of Christ as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer ourselves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in the ministry of every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world.
Illumine our lives, O God, with the radiance of Christ's love, that we may live for you and love as he loved. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Now, joining our voices with those from around the world, we pray as Jesus taught, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We give you thanks that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he died, he took bread. After giving thanks to you, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Come, share in the mystery of this holy meal.
The bread of life.
The cup of salvation.
Invite the servers to come forward. We will serve them, and then they will serve you. You're invited to begin on the outside aisles, to come forward, return to the side. Then we will shift over to the middle aisle for the two sections in the center to come down. There is an opportunity, if you'd prefer the prepackaged kits, that those will be available up here. Also, if you would prefer to stay in your seat, to meditate, for whatever reason it may be, there will be servers that will be coming around. Simply raise your hand, get their attention,
and they would be more than glad to serve you wherever you are. Let us share this holy meal.
Thank you. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus Christ, for the gifts of grace we have received from your hand. Now send us forth to reflect your light, proclaiming your saving death and resurrection until you come again in glory. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able for our sending hymn, Jesus, Take Us to the Mountain. Now as you go out into the world, led by the Spirit, follow the light of Christ into the world. Illumined by the Spirit, allow the light of Christ to shine through you. Amen.